everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of June 4th through 10th, 2012. When we left off last week, Igor Spielbond had just been announced as fired by the Arctic Figure Skating Club in Canton, his teaching privileges there even revoked. Rink manager Craig O'Neill claimed Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, Meryl Davis and Charlie White, and Maya and Alex Jabutani went to him and demanded he be thrown out, which was a stupid thing for him to do, because it was only hours before White's mother posted an angry comment to the Detroit Free Press article that originally broke the news. I'm afraid you don't know what you are talking about. This wasn't initiated by the skaters. They're obviously only trying to hang on by the skin of their teeth to continue training while the coaches battle to the death and, when convenient, use them as pawns in the fight. This is an old story of who has control, where egos come into play, and team cooperation erodes. The skaters in this scenario are not brats, but victims caught in the crossfire. Furthermore, in their press statement about the matter, Virtue and Moyer mentioned they hadn't even known what was going on until they got back from vacation, which most of the skaters had been on to the news. All three couples have said they are staying with Marina Zueva and spoke highly about Spielbond in their official statements that, aside from the Canadians mentioning they hadn't known, say little else. As I record this Sunday evening, however, there's still no word on what any of the lower-ranked couples intend to do. There has been some unofficial word that Spielbond was spreading himself a little too thin, but comments from both him and Zueva support far more the notion that this is about the two of them. He says she hasn't been talking to him lately, scheduling their teams in ways that don't suit him, and he thinks she should have been willing to hold on and make it work until after the Olympics at least, including, "Every partnership has arguments, it is our business together. It's give and take, but Marina didn't see it that way. She wanted me to go away." She says he had been shutting her out of two new couples he wants to train in his own and was giving them the best ice time at too much expense to the top three especially, and while the timing of it was unfortunate, it could have been worse. And she even remains open to reconciliation in the future. Meanwhile, she's looking for another coaching partner. She's apparently already asked Margarita Jo Biasco and Popolis Vanagas, but they want to keep touring for now. Though the head of the Lithuanian Federation has expressed her concern for their fellow Lithuanian team, Isabella Tobias and Davidas Stagnunius, and belief that Zueva will need someone to work with her. We don't even know much about these two teams yet. Hearsay describes one of them as a young team representing a small country and aiming for 2018 more than 2014, and makes it sound like the second team might not be much of a factor in the higher half of the international field either. They at least are presumably still with him, and he has temporarily set up shop at the rink in Ann Arbor while he looks for a more permanent place. He prefers to stay in the Detroit area if he can. The big people in Russian skating have weighed their opinions in. Valentin Pisiev expressed his amazement with this turn of events before saying he highly doubts the work Spielbond did with Ekaterina Rezanova and Ilya Tachenko should be blamed for this, and that Spielbond would be welcome back should he choose to return to Russia. Alexander Gorshkov, more realistically, is holding out hope they can get him to spend more time working with Russian teams they'll send to him. The USFSA this week had another announcement to make. They've awarded the 2014 Prudential US Figure Skating Championships, they just renewed that sponsorship deal too, to Boston. With its extended history of running the event well, it'll be the 7th Nationals for the city, which last hosted it in 2001. The same announcement also gave the dates for the 2014 season, regionals and sectionals, and all locations except New England regionals. October 5th through 8th, we'll see North Atlantic regionals in Lake Placid, Northwest Pacific regionals in Tacoma, Washington, and the Eastern Great Lakes regionals in Louisville, Kentucky. Next week, October 12th through 15th, we'll have New England regionals, Southwest regionals in Dallas, and Central Pacific regionals in Vacaville, California. October 19th through 22nd, we'll see Southwest Pacific regionals in Anaheim, South Atlantic regionals in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Upper Great Lakes regionals in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The three sectionals competitions will be held November 19th through 23rd in Ashburn, Virginia in the east, in East Lansing, Michigan in the Midwest, and in Oakland, California on the Pacific Coast. For newer competitions, there was also more details announced for the still unnamed Senior B competition taking place this fall in Salt Lake City. Most notably, they are limiting the entries allowed to 18 skaters in both singles events, 12 teams in the pairs, and 15 teams in the ice dance, and while they reserve the right to 3 entries in each of the other countries, only Canada will get more than one entry in each competition, and they'll only get 2 per discipline, and there will be preference given to skaters who have made the finals of either senior or junior worlds during the past 2 years. The event will also host a junior novice competitions, which will be for American skaters only. Another press release, meanwhile, announced that Alyssa Cisney successfully underwent her hip surgery on Nashville on Wednesday, and Adam Rippon chimed in on Twitter that she was resting up and doing really well after her surgery and pretty cute from all the meds. The current estimate for her recovery would return her to the ice in September and have her more fully recovered in October. On the other hand, we have our first withdrawal from the Grand Prix. Ukrainian ice dance team Alexandra Nazarov and Maxim Nikitin have withdrawn from their one event at the Ross Telecom Cup for unknown reasons. There has been a rule change from last year. Host federations are now allowed their choice replacement from the top five of the alternates list, no matter who's still on the list. And the Russian Federation has picked Canadians Nicole Orford and Thomas Williams to give a second event. Over in Japan, the Medal Winners Open has announced the first five skaters for the event. All skaters that are retired, at least more or less, Alexei Yagudin, Ilya Kulik, Irina Slutskaya, Jeffrey Buttle, and Joanny Rochette. Other, presumably still competing skaters have yet to be selected. A little to the south, in Malaysia, the ISU is holding their congress this weekend in Kuala Lumpur. The questions people are most interested in, the various changes to the rules and regulations, and when the choreographic sequence will be confirmed and vocals will be allowed after Sochi, and even that whole business with who's gonna lead the organization, we'll have to wait until announcements are made, but some grimmer business was announced Friday, with the decision being made public for the May 22nd decision of the ISU Disciplinary Commission on the matter of the Norwegian siblings Lisen Hedje Rosto Jensen for banning the same panel as referee and judge respectively for the novice men's short at the Challenge Cup back in March, violating both regulations and the Code of Ethics. Hedge has been reprimanded while Lise has been suspended as a referee for a year, starting retroactively from March 11th, the last day of the Cup, though she will be able to be a judge as normal. For more individual skater news, we have some more music announcements. Ross Minor, who is getting his choreography from husband and wife team Tom Dixon and Katarina Lindgren, had a short program choreographed by Lindgren to Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody and a theme by Paganini, and then his long by Dixon to Erich Korngold's score for the Errol Flynn movie Captain Blood. Dixon speaks of trying to make Minor skating more nuanced and have him remind people of Flynn. Minor hopes not to have to grow his hair long, though, while having the program reflect the movie's plot. He also becomes the second skater to announce a Frank Sinatra exhibition, this one to Luck Be a Lady, which even performed at a benefit show Saturday afternoon. Lindsay Davis and Mark Ladwig debuted their short program in a public performance in a pair simulation in Allerton Friday. It is to cello concerto by a group called the Piano Guys, they call Beethoven's Five Secrets, in which they combine the melody from One Republic's song Secrets with themes from all four movements of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. The result kind of sounds magnificent. Chinese skater Zijin Li appears to be skating her short to Dark Eyes and her long Sleeping Beauty, at least if we're reading her Weibo posts, right? She and Kexin Zhang have both been working with Lori Nichol, apparently alongside Kazakh Dennis Ten. For other choreographer news, Lindgren, who also choreographs for the Helgeson Sisters, is working with their fellow Swede Alexander Majorov, too, the first time he's gotten choreography with anyone besides his mother. Also with some program news, among other news, is Johnny Weir Voronov, multiple interviews with whom were published this week. He's still not naming pieces, but has said he received his short program music from Lady Gaga herself, and for his Phoenix from the Ashes long, will be putting together several very famous pieces of music in what he calls a throwback to the 1950s and 60s programs. In both Russian and Japanese interviews, he talked about how his 2 years away doing other things has left him happier on the ice because he no longer feels obliged to skate but genuinely wants to. Feels he can last longer than his peers because he started later and is less worn down and does not expect to win very many more medals, though he's working on quads anyway. To this, he added in a Chinese press conference for the Artistry on Ice Red Temptation Tour, in which he is performing two new show programs, that his performances will be better because his heart has fully tasted happiness. In the Japanese article, he also expressed his skepticism on Evan Lysacek's comeback, while in the Russian interview, he revealed he has now watched the performance of the other guys in the Olympics and believes he ought to have finished third, and also mentions the USFSA is treating him better than they used to, if only because they've acknowledged his usefulness. Both interviews also have him talking about his love for the countries in question, though the Russian interview went into much more detail about it, with comments about the dramaticism of Russian skaters, and mentions that the Soviet jacket he wore in Torino, which he notes he was far more tactless than he might be today there, was in fact a good luck present from Tatiana Tutmamina. In the Russian interview also, however, while he noted that he himself hasn't faced too much trouble while in Russia, he speaks considerably of his unhappiness about the country's homophobia, and his words come out through Chrome Translate as, "Yes, it hurts me that Russia does not recognize my life and hated it, but I still love Russia. Still, he would have lived in Russia if I could, at least in Moscow." He adds, however, that as he is not actually Russian, he feels it is not his place to fight there. Artistry on Ice Red Temptation debuted this Saturday in Taiwan before going to mainland China next week. Other highlights of the show included Evgeny Plushenko receiving much audience appreciation to an Edvin Martin tango, Shizuka Arakawa doing likewise with the flamenco, Kurt Browning skating to I'm Yours with a special Chinese language version of the costume, Joanny Rochette showing up as a late replacement for Alyssa Sisney, and of course, Xue Shen and Hung Bo Zhao showing they're going out in style, with her even coming down to him from the ceiling sitting on a large crescent moon, which according to the song he was singing at the time represented his heart, before they debuted Our 20 Years. The more expensive seats didn't entirely sell out, and the press almost paid more attention to the celebrities, which as well as Chinese ones included Katie Holmes, but there was still a bigger crowd than last year. Other Chinese news includes news of another retirement. Ji Liang Wu, who before Nansang Wen Sr. had pretty much been China's top skater, due to both his age and injury, left the ice back in March and is now coaching children. Not retiring, on the other hand, is new world champion Carolina Kostner. She was in Rome last week visiting the skating school, which with over 1,000 skaters is the biggest in Italy and one of the biggest in Europe, and where she is godmother of their Axel home rink. While attending a ceremony to recognize their best, she said, "I'm not going to stop, although I understand clear that I will have to compete with very strong and young skaters. After Vancouver Olympics in 2010, I got new strength to go ahead, and now I get real pleasure from figure skating. I feel much freer." Skaters for this year's Opera on Ice were announced this week, too. She'll be joined by Plushenko, Stéphane Lambiel, Aliona Savchenko and Robin Sokovi, and Anna Kapalina in Luca Linate. In the States, there were a few club shows this weekend. The Los Angeles Ice Theater held their annual benefit show Friday night in Burbank, with Mirai Nagasu leading cast that also included Richard Dornbush and Courtney Hicks. On the other side of the country, there was the benefit show in Marlborough, Massachusetts, Saturday afternoon to benefit the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, which offers summer camp to children with cancer. This was the one where Ross Minor performed Luck Be a Lady, while Gretchen Donlan and Andrew Spiroff headed the cast with him. In between the coasts, Thursday through to today was the biggest of the shows, the Detroit Skating Club's annual show. Although not all of the biggest skaters performed in all of the shows, and Sisney was only able to come to watch on crutches, Caitlin Weaver and Andrew Poget did all the performances, Jeremy Abbott did three of them, and world medalists appeared in the form of not only Nathalie Paichon and Fabian Borza, but also Merrill Davis and Charlie White, who came over from Canton Friday and Saturday, and Akiko Suzuki, who performed Friday night. Speaking of Weaver and Poget, an interview was published with them, too, in which they went into more detail about preparing their Sound of Music short dance, where they will combine the polka with the waltz. They see the Yankee Polka as being a more challenging compulsory for them because of Poget's height, so they're working extra on that while trying to avoid a more cheesy over-the-top polka. They want to be a little more understated. They still have no music for their free dance, where they're trying to figure out how to top Je Suis Malade. Weaver commenting, "We were pretty spoiled last season because every time we took the ice for our free dance, we got a partial, if not full, standing ovation. We're looking to improve on that and connect with our music even more, because that seems to help us stand out to the people who are watching, and we certainly don't want to stop doing that." They still see themselves as having improvement to make in technique and expression, as well as keeping their levels consistently high, and still see themselves as the underdog, aiming to win a Grand Prix or a world medal. Interviews were also conducted with some of the skaters who participated in this year's Young Artist Showcase, which will have its final on June 27th in Lake Placid, with Mark Henratty and Garrett Kling as the two finalists, Michael Buckley of What the Buck fame hosting, Connor Garvey of the Singer-Songwriter Challenge performing, and a cast headed by Ryan Bradley and Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue, with third place Robert Mauti also to be involved. In his video interview, Henratty talked about becoming famous in Britain after appearing on Dancing on Ice, calling it surreal and bizarre, how he started choreographing near the end of his career and the opportunities he was lucky enough to get following retirement, and how his favorite challenge was the singer-songwriter one that led him to perform with his wife. Kling is also recently retired, having spent a decade in singles and competed in novice ice dance last season, but having choreographed since he was 11, he said, starting with his own show programs and branching out to other skaters much more recently, he concluded that he loves performing much more than competing and is now aiming to make a career out of choreography and do show numbers while possibly introducing more creativity into competitive programs. The showcase itself is on a roll, even announcing another new competition, Quest for Creativity, a competition for very young choreographers 13 and under. Another interview subject was Romain Haugenauer, who judged the last season's highlights to include the men's free at Europeans and Davison White's Die Fledermaus free dance, which he called, in my opinion, the best program in a long, long time. He talked a little bit about teaching Morgan Cyprus, much about pair skating while doing his and Vanessa James programs, and how he was honored to work with Daisuke Takahashi and his own students learned much from him. He has already done much of his choreographic work for the upcoming season. He is now focused on the fall competitions, where his and Muriel Boucher's Zozui students Tiffany Zahorsky and Alexis Miart will be competing on the senior level in the hope of moving to the top after 2014. He speaks of French future ice dance prospects, referring to Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cazayron as strong competitors this year on the junior level, and also described Estelle Elizabeth and Romain Legac as very promising. In a week where the news was dominated by a coaching breakup, he talked about how for 15 years he and Zazui have made a good team by sharing similar views while having different personalities and talents, and words that might have been heard in Canton too late. "The secret is definitely the good atmosphere between the staff members. We are different people, but we are very open-minded. We are demanding of our skaters, but at the same time we are very responsive to their opinions and feelings." Finally, when it comes to interviews, as voting opens for who should win the trophy named for her, Michelle Kwan made some comments while invited by ESPN to speak on behalf of Title IX in Bristol, Connecticut. "For the last 6 years, I've stepped away from figure skating and grown in so many ways. I'm just so lucky to be able to give back. I'm so grateful for all these opportunities." She also reveals she's been asked to do Dancing with the Stars more than once, and she may someday say yes, though for now she doesn't have the time needed for it. She's not the only skater who's recently been added to the British Olympic torch relay. One of their own has just gotten in as well. John Kerr tweeted Monday he will have his turn in Edinburgh on the 13th. But in less pleasant news involving previous champions, Yina Kim's All That Sports agency announced on Wednesday she's filed suit against one Professor Sangmin Hwang of Yonsei University for libel. He was on Korean radio back on May 22nd and was asked to comment on Yuna's participating in a practice teaching session at a high school as part of a phys ed teacher's degree at Korea University, which apparently has a not-so-friendly rivalry going on with Yonsei, where the paparazzi made teaching the class difficult. Hwang said scornfully she was getting away with skipping lots of classes and not really doing the work because she was a celebrity, except he actually didn't know much on the subject. He just heard rumors and made assumptions, as it is true that this happens with Korean celebrity athletes, but in fact his frequent media appearances made him a bigger culprit of negligence than Yina, who has failed a couple of courses in the past while she was still competitive, but since leaving full-time training behind has been pretty good at attending her classes and getting all her work done. She's still famous enough in Korea that the media there has gotten crazy over this. The radio host has been forced to apologize, but Hwang is refusing to, and All That Sports will go forward with the lawsuit unless he does. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.